Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 2011 alumnus is supporting frontline workers with his business and expanding companies within their marketing world. Ladies and gentlemen, an alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Ron Argelli to the show. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming on the show during your busy time with your business. We're just going to jump right into today's questions for today. So what have you been up to since you have graduated from Misericordia?
Man, what haven't I been up to? I mean, this could be the question, but, I've been super busy, working corporate America and getting all those false hopes and dreams promised to me. And I kind of had this small little thing that I was doing on a side gig while I was at college. And I got sick and tired of corporate America, and I went all in on myself. And since Misericordia, I've really just built a small little empire.
So kind of go into detail as far as how it became an idea, how it formed into actually you turning into this company, and kind of explain a little bit what your company actually does.
All right. So this all started while I was in college. I was at college, trying to pay bills. It's hard going to school, and working at the same time. I don't come from much money, or, I was on my own. I came out of the military and had to do something. So we were having, some fun in college, and we had some shirts made from another printer. Won't mention any names. And the pricing was just so incredibly high. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So, I did my due diligence. I went online, figured out, went to YouTube, figured out how to make them. And I made my first press out of some door hinges. And I had a class in high school. And the next thing I started learning how to make print t-shirts. So while I had my college apartment and not in class, I was out hustling and getting orders from local, bars, restaurants, smaller stuff. And, I had to prove myself to make sure I could do it. And the first $500 that I made, I bought my first little press off of eBay, and the rest would be history, Mike.
Wow. It's kind of, yeah. I like, for me, somebody who's currently, switching to apartments and kind of settling in apartments, it's one of those unique things that you have at your house, and in a printing press is one of those unique items that would be in your apartment.
Yes. And it's so weird. I had here's my computer desk, here's my couch, and then there's a screen printing press in the middle of the floor. And that's what it was like in college, ramen noodles and screen printing stuff everywhere. And it kind of looked real shady if, somebody came into the apartment to be like, what are you doing here? It was a lot of fun. It surely was. Those were the humble beginnings of where the company has led. Over the years, we were, I became, like I said, I was working corporate America, and I was a sales trainer, and I was doing really big things all over the country. And it was just one of those things where you're really good at what you do, and you have some promotions coming your way, and they just couldn't follow through. So I kind of walked. And I left a lot of money and everything on the table, because it wasn't about that. It was about my sanity,
Mm-hmm.
So the story gets better, because I was donating, all the screen supplies that I wasn't using to a local high school, a career technology center in Lackawanna County. And I went in one day, and they told me that the instructor passed away a couple months prior. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Nobody told me, And they said, who are you? So I said, hey, I'm Ron Argelli. I have this shirt thing, and I was donating. And they said, hey, would you ever think about teaching high school? And I said, heck no. I said, heck no, I am not teaching high school. And they're like, look, it's the end of the school year. These kids haven't had a real teacher. Do you mind subbing? And I'm like, well, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm out of work. I'm just printing shirts on the side. I got money saved. Yeah, what the heck? I'll show up. And dude, I fell in love with it. I love these kids, so much so I had to play that politics of becoming a teacher, So mm-hmm. I got in. The next thing I'm Mr. Argelli, and I'm teaching graphic communications the following fall. That's and running awesome. my t-shirt business part-time.
That's awesome. I love to see how, you know, it's almost like, you know, somebody from our previous episode was saying that they took one direction, but they kind of veered off in another direction and they love it just as much. And you said it best. You did not want to get into education, but at the time it was more of a convincing and more of a, hey, please, pretty please. And all of a sudden you're loving it every day in and out as far as that.
And it was great. And we'll back all the way back up to, you know, my last day of Misericordia. It was a pretty amazing experience. I woke up, it was St. Ubaldo, you know, a week up my way up in Jessa, Pennsylvania. And I woke up on the couch. I'm like, man, I'm graduating today. This is crazy. I can't believe it came this fast. I got off the couch. I go to the closet to get my cap and gown, and the door fell off the hinges. I'm like, oh, boy, this is how my day is going to start, you know? So I take the trip down to Dallas from Jessup, and, you know, my family was there. You know, as commencement happened, and after, they're like, hey, you want to go celebrate? We'll get some dinner. And I said to my my stepmother and father, I said, you know, I really appreciate it, but I have some shirts to print for St. Ubaldo Day to get ahead. And, you know, I went home that afternoon. Instead of going out and celebrating the big accomplishment, I just went right to work. And I went to deliver shirts to the family of St. Anthony. For those who know what that is, I'm family of St. Ubaldo, so it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing going on. But that very night, the day I graduated, I saw my wife from across the room. So the whole thing just worked out, my friend. So I graduated Misericordia. Instead of celebrating, I went to work. And that very night when I went to deliver, I saw this beautiful lady across the room. And that's what's been going on since I left Misericordia. Fell in love, got married, had two kids, and built an empire. And that's about it.
Literally the true love story and success really story that it is.
You can't pray enough for something as good as to happen when you have such a rough start to life. And you know, you have the military, you come out, you have your heart broken, the whole nine yards, and then this all starts falling into place, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it worked out great. It really did.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're obviously going to be talking positive here, but more so talking surety, if you don't mind me including that pun. So
that's fine.
With the company, talk surety to me. Currently, you know, where are you guys located? What do you guys do? Kind of giving our alumni audience a little bit of a taste as far as what your company does.
All right. So we elevate brand awareness through marketing. We help corporate, nonprofits, and organizations such as schools to get their brand out there in a professional way instead of the cheapest way. So we offer screen printing, embroidery, promotional goods, signs, banners, you name it. If you could don it, we could print on it. That's basically it. But, you know, Talk Surety to Me is a national company. And we ship all over the United States, and we're based right here in Blakely, Pennsylvania. And we have a nice large facility with a lot of equipment that's professional. So that's where we're at right now. But the quickest way to get a hold of us would be WeTalkShirty.com. And it's simple, dude. You just get a quote, get your shirts, and get back to business. We do what we do best, and you do what you do best.
Perfect. Now I have to ask, how did the name come about?
Oh, so I said my name earlier, Ron Augelli. My students at the time couldn't even say Augelli. And growing up, it's been butchered my whole life. Angeli, Oogly, Iggly, you know, Boogly-Doo. So, you know, it started off as Augelli Printing because it was easier to start a DBA, you know, Ron Augelli Printing, doing business as. But as we started growing, popularity started coming with it. My wife and I were out to eat. We had a conversation. And we're like, look, we got to come up with a better name, something that people could relate to, a brand that we could grow, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're sitting there, we're writing down, crossing off names, trying to come up with different things. And the song came on the air, Talk Dirty to Me by Poison. And my wife, who is really musically, you know, I can't remember a song to save my life. She said, Talk Dirty to Me. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I love it. You know,
that's
so
awesome.
that's how that happened. We were, you know, eating, having, you know, a nice quiet dinner without kids at that time. And, you know, that's how Talk Surety to Me was born. So we worked with a local marketing company to kind of really nail everything down. And it really grew. It's trademarked now. We have couple websites that are feeding it. And so much so, with the success, I was named top seven in the country in my industry. So that, you know, it's something I take a lot of pride in. Yeah. You know, it's really cool. Really cool.
Certainly. I mean, I could certainly tell from your experiences and your discussion with your passion that this business means so much to you. And I think that really applies to any Misericordia graduate, alumna, or alumnus that kind of goes through and walks across that stage, that whatever they find and whatever they, quote, settle down to, because some people just are finding their way and try to find their career. Once they settle down, they are going 110% each and every day.
Every day. And I have to agree with that. I had no idea that I'd ever be doing this full time. I mean, I went to school for business. I thought, you know, I'd be working for somebody. You know, I had a career path already in place. And, you know, now I own three businesses, and it's all because of what I've learned up on campus and working with my fellow alum, you know, and the networking that we have. So, yeah, it's definitely a custom. It's built in you up there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, Ron, with your company itself, I know we're kind of trying to discuss with our alumni audience. We're still in the recording stages of quarantine in some areas, but your company actually did something special to kind of combat COVID-19 as far as helping with supplying masks, face masks, and you really took the initiative in trying to almost create a positive, almost force coming into your company itself. Do you kind of want to go into detail as far as, you know, what sparked it and what caused you guys to be producing face masks?
You know, so if you could just put yourself in my shoes, you built this beautiful business. You have, you know, 18 employees that are relying on you, and all of a sudden they say you're shut down and you can't work anymore. So, like, all your dreams and everything you've been working towards comes to a flying halt, you know? And it's a scary thing. It's a very scary thing. And what happened was, I just can't sit on the sidelines. You know, I'm ex-military. You have to rise to the occasion. And I said, you know what? If we're not essential, we'll become essential. And our, you know, t-shirts yesterday, masks today. And we started making t-shirts, you know, cutting them up and making masks. And our first prototype, we were able to get thousands out to the masses, which weren't available. I mean, the N95s and all those medical masks should be for medical personnel. And, you know, I saw a person wearing a sock over their face. I'm like, this just isn't right. Mm-hmm. Let me see what I could do. So I had a client of mine contact me and said, hey, I got this information from the CDC. They said that you can use t-shirt cotton as masks. Is there something that you could, you know, develop off of this prototype that they sent me? So, you know, one of my customers sent me that. And here I am cutting and sewing, and boom, that's how it was made. So in doing so, we were able to come up with a campaign where we were, you know, selling to the general public, but in return, making a heavier, better mask and donating those to those frontline workers and essential workers, you know, such as the nursing homes, you know, walking clinics, you know, the food pantries. And I was donating to police officers, state troopers, you know, as much as I could get out there, because there was definitely a void for a while. Now it's kind of become saturated as fast as it could get out there. But we were one of the front runners to be able to get something to market as quick as we can. And we were able to get out about 25,000 masks in the first week that we launched the campaign. And we felt really, really good about it, you know. And now we offer 10 different versions, and they keep getting better as they go.
I think that's kind of nice. I mean, obviously we're in a situation where we kind of need those things, but it kind of opened up your diversity of your product as far as being able to make these masks. But, you know, and even so with some of the things like the education, you know, I think all of us have been finding out, you know, you can wash these masks. You can't wash these masks. You throw out these masks. You can put these in a washer and dryer and it'll come out fine. Like, you make the masks that can certainly last for a long time itself because of the product that you're using.
Yeah. So, you know, the first one we did was, it looked like a basic face cover. It was made out of, you know, a single ply, but it was enough to get you in the store. It was enough to get you to work. It was enough to, if you're practicing social distancing 6 feet away, it's a perfect lightweight material. My employees wear them here at the shop because you could breathe in them. I don't know about, you know, you or any of the listeners, but those heavier masks, it's kind of tough when you're doing something heavy, you know, as far as work goes or out, you know, going for a run. They kind of are, you know, they're stuffy. So there's literally different masks for different things. But by no means are we selling any medical masks. These are just general public face coverings to help slow down the spread of the COVID virus that's out there. The lighter weight one, believe it or not, we've had huge requests for, because we have a lot of, you know, medical personnel, and we have a lot of, you know, police agencies that want the lighter one to put over their K, you know, the N95 masks, so that they could either dispose or rewash, so that they don't have to keep throwing away these masks that are very, you know, hard to come by right now. So just being creative is really what it's about right now.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of bogging down to kind of the next question that I want to ask you, because there's a lot of service that's involved currently right now with you. There's a lot of, you know, a couple of the charisms that fall into what Misericordia was. But to ask my next question, you know, I you touched briefly upon it. How has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today?
So they gave me the chance. You know, I was an adult learner. Not a lot of universities were interested in getting, you know, adults into academics. I came out of the military and I wasn't, you know, fortunate to be a regular daytime student. So Misericordia afforded me the opportunity after I already worked, you know, a 10 to 11 hour day to have my classes online on campus or at satellite campuses at night, which fit my schedule better. So that taught me even more work ethic, because I had to really learn how to adapt, use my time wisely, and really network with my classmates to really make sure that I'm getting every benefit I can, because our time was short spent, you know, not like a traditional student where you're there on campus all day and you have time to go to the library. So it was definitely a different experience, but Misericordia definitely hit a home run with their adult learning program, not only for myself, my sister went through it, you know, my best friend went through it, and it was a godsend at the time. Otherwise I wouldn't have been able to go to college.
I think I find it interesting, because, you know, just getting to know you through this interview and all that, you know, you hear a lot of experiences with the traditional undergraduate career. You know, you start right out of high school, but, you know, for you being adult learner, it kind of brings the fact that, you know, not to butter up Misericordia with their adult learner program, but it gives opportunities like the continuous and, you know, maybe non-traditional workers like yourself the opportunity to go through, get an education, and then be able to send forth even farther in your career that is currently what you're doing right now.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was in the adult learning program, we even had, you know, traditional students that were just looking to get their credits faster, coming to class at night. They were really, really dedicated. I mean, we had CEOs of different companies sitting in there. We had lawyers. We had, you know, people that had been in profession that were just there trying to get more out of education. So it was a really great networking situation to be in, because I was with professional career people that are already in industry, you know? So it was a heck of an opportunity to be able to network that way and get through, you know, the experience without having to go every single day to school.
Did you happen to have like a favorite experience during your time? I know it's like I said, like very non-traditional as far as that, but any memory that you could think of that really sticks out as far as your experience, whether it was on campus, a satellite, or an online format itself?
I have many, but I have to say I waited for my one chemistry class, right?
Oh dear!
And
oh
that
man,
was my
chemistry.
Last class
chemistry.
To,
oh.
to get a chemistry, and guess when it was? 7:30 on a Sunday morning, and I used to go, you know, drive, get up at, you know, I was like an hour and a half away from campus, so, and it was on, you know, in Dallas, so I would wake up, and some days I'm just like, whew, you know, so I had to give up a lot of, I guess, social time on those every other Saturday nights. But it was definitely fun when we got there, because everybody in the class was just looking at each other like, are we really here right now? Is this really happening? You know, but it was so much fun, because, you know, as the hour would go on, you know, everything would come full circle. But it was always a good time visiting campus because you would be able to see everybody, you know, there at once. It was fun. That was a good experience.
I'm glad that you're not in somewhat of a chemistry profession as far as, you know, what you currently do, because if you were saying that and you moved yeah, I did chemistry. It's like, well, so what?
That class, you know, we mix inks and chemicals every day, and that's why I wanted to talk about that class, because who the heck would have thought I had ever used chemistry in my profession? And here I am, you know, on a daily basis, measuring, you know, this catalyst to this base to mix this to make that. And as much as I thought it wasn't, you know, gonna help me out, it really did.
Yeah. Now, Ron, I'm curious to know if you do have a almost a timeline here, but you know, what's next for Talk Shuri to me? Like, what's the next steps? Is, you know, what's the next empire to take on? Like, I'm kind of curious to see what your vision is as far as your company.
You know, it's one of those things where people tell me you're really lucky, you know, like, hey, he must be a lucky guy. And my motto is, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And that's basically it. And, you know, we print for some major record labels, you know, for bands like Fall Out Boy, Weezer. I mean, we have some really, really cool accounts. But the ones that I love are the ones right here in Northeastern PA, all my schools, nonprofits, and the businesses I work with. I recently, right before this the COVID broke down, I was in Minneapolis, which is a headquarter for most all top, you know, top Fortune 500 companies all have their headquarters in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I went out there in trade, you know, I was invited out, and I was given an opportunity from a company in Austria called MHM, which is a screen printing press. It's the top of the line one, and they want to bring it to the United States. And I'm going to be the representative and the showroom shop for this type of press, for people to be able to come to my shop, see how it works, and I could train them on it. So we have teamed up with a lot of people in our industry, especially with this breakout, because of the you know, everything being canceled. You know, so we're not going to have trade shows. So where are people going to go? So I have a lot of niches inside my you know, industry that have seen all the progress I've done, and they are, you know, sponsoring us, paying us for us to advertise on Instagram and Facebook and our social media, so that, you know, because of the cancellations and everything in the next 2 years and how it's probably going to roll out, they have an opportunity for people to see, you know, live how a machine works, what operates, how to use this product. And I think that's a really cool opportunity that we have. So we'll still be slinging shirts and printing apparel and embroidering away, but in the meantime, we're also going to be showcasing different products in our industry in a whole different channel. And I think it's a really cool opportunity for us to get that.
Certainly. I mean, anything that expands your business as far as acquiring new, you know, companies or products or services that can come with it is certainly something that any business looks forward to. But I'm glad that there is that almost the next door that you're close to reaching and opening up and being able to go through that door as far as, you know, your company going through that process itself.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with all this has positioned, we're the front runner in our, you know, local area for having, you know, web stores. Web stores are free online platforms that we give to our customers in the area for them. Instead of buying large amounts of inventory and selling, they're able to pre-sell using the web store. And then we do the order fulfillment, and then we ship it out on their behalf. So we've been doing that for about 4 years. When this broke down, because we knew it so well, we transitioned. We had to pivot our company. Like I said, we were making masks, but we also printed for a lot of essential people, such as the medical industry, the police departments, fire departments, and we had to fulfill orders, you know, for them to get it to them. And nobody wanted to pick up, and nobody wants us to deliver. So because we are, you know, the order fulfillment company that we've been doing for the last 4 years, it made complete and total sense for us to be able to offer these web stores, you know, all the time. And we had 200 of them open last month to help local businesses. And we are shipping on their behalf and sending them their profit checks so that they could stay afloat as long as they can since they were closed. So it's pivoting, adapting. You can't just curl up in a ball right now, give up, throw your hands in the air. You know, I'm sure there's people laying on the log, looking up at the sky going, what am I going to do? And it's that opportunity where you just have to stand up. You have to rise to the occasion, and you just have to go out and get it. That's it.
Certainly. Wow. I was going to ask, do you have any final words or thoughts? But I think you completely just wrap that into one cohesive, you know, statement. And you know, Ron, I think we're really excited from the Alumni Relations Office that you're not only continuing being, was a servant leader on campus, but you're certainly continuing being a servant leader within your company itself. So, Ron, thank you so much for taking the time for being on our podcast today. And we look forward to seeing any more growth and prosperity that you have within your company itself.
I appreciate it, Mike. And Cougar Nation, stay strong and safe and take care of your family.